love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Ah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Yes, sir?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Just coffee, please.
Yes, sir.
How long are you open today?
Oh, just till noon.
I was waiting there in the lobby for somebody to answer a question or two, but there's nobody around.
Well, it's New Year's Day, sir. Studio club's deserted.
Oh. Then I take it a Mrs. Kate Wakefield isn't around.
Well, I don't know who's here or who isn't. Now, I don't run this place. I just work here in the coffee shop.
Mrs. Wakefield is here, though.
Well, they can tell you at the desk, sir.
I'll come back later.
Well, don't you want your coffee?
I've changed my mind. Oh, here you are.
Thanks.
Hi, Hazel.
Oh, well, what are you doing here, Trudy?
Oh, New Year's Day. I get lonesome. Do you?
No, I gave that up.
Oh, holidays are no good if you spend them alone. So I get out and see the people.
And I stay home and avoid them.
Oh.
What do you have?
Oh, coffee and a Danish.
Is Kate in her room?
Oh, I thought so. I'll knock on her door later and find out.
The man was in here just now asking about her.
Oh, was it Tony Cushing?
No. And I've seen this guy a couple of times in the lobby while you and Kate were up in Maine.
Oh, you know, I have an idea who he might be.
Oh, wait a sec.
Yeah?
Hey, that's the guy.
Where?
Hey, look in the mirror. Through the door in the lobby.
Oh, yeah, I see him. Just standing there.
You know, I saw him there like that twice before. Just standing.
Nobody else out there right now. Hazel, I think I'll go out and have a little chat with him.
Sure. Why not? If you don't ask, you'll never learn. I'll pour you hot coffee when you get back.
Oh, hi there.
Well, good morning.
Can I, do anything for you?
Yes, you can. Tell me where I can get some information. Nobody's at the desk.
Oh, well, it's a little informal that way, but it keeps down the rent for the kids. Who are you looking for?
Mrs. Kate Wakefield. Do you know her?
Sort of.
Well, I'd like to reach her. I've been here several times. I've left messages, but apparently nobody responsible is around.
Oh, well, that's the studio club. But I, must say, you don't look like a man who belongs here. You're a gentleman. Anybody can see that.
Very few in this town who can recognize a gentleman anymore. Do you live here?
Oh, no. I just come up here to see what the kids are up to.
Uh-huh.
I have an apartment downtown, the West 60th. Oh, it's a nice little place. Stereo, and a lot of plants. Hey, you ought to see it.
Well, I'd like to sometime.
You know, I don't usually talk to strangers like this, but you look kind of lonesome waiting here.
I'm rather used to being lonesome.
Ah, you shouldn't feel that way. Not a distinguished-looking man like you.
Are you alone, too?
Well, who isn't in this town?
Maybe we ought to do something about that.
Sure.
Listen,
why not?
Where'd you say your apartment is?
Hey, I'll give you the phone number. You got a pencil?
Yes, yes, I have. As a matter of fact, right here.
Oh, boy, real gold?
From a grateful client some time ago.
And you're hanging around a place like this? Oh, boy. Well, there you are. Name and phone.
Uh-huh. Trudy Kiefer. Mrs.?
Once. Ms. will do. Oh, what's your name?
Stephen Wolf.
Oh, I like that. Stephen Wolf, a real masculine. Oh, that's for me. Hey, now, who did you say you were looking for?
Mrs. Kate Wakefield, an old friend.
Oh, I know she lives here, but I don't think she's around now. Say, if you want to leave a message, I can put it in her mailbox. There's a pad on the desk.
Oh, thank you. Trudy, you've been very helpful.
Oh, well, after all, I don't very often meet a guy like you.
Well, you've made my wait very pleasant. And now that I know it's futile, I won't wait any longer. I may give you a call later.
Well, I'll be home around 6.
Oh, excellent. Good day, Miss Trudy.
Uh-huh. Bye now. I'll see you, Steve.
Well, what was that all about, Trudy?
Oh, boy, wait till I see Kate. For your information, Hazel, that guy is all snake.
Hi, I've only got a minute. My job here at home requires my full attention. I just wanted to say a few words about hair coloring. My little girl has beautiful chestnut hair, like I used to. And it made me very conscious every time I brushed her hair of the gray that had been sneaking into mine the last year or so. I'd thought about hair coloring, but using peroxide or changing my natural color turned me off. Then one day I heard about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. How it had no peroxide and came in 15 shades, one just like my own. I said, okay, I'll try it. Sure enough, Loving Care covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it made my hair softer and shinier, too. And some days, it's just such a comfort to peek in the mirror and see a woman who looks pretty terrific, considering her immediate surroundings.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Oh, Trudy, you were great to get rid of him. But look, I don't want you to get mixed up with Stephen Wolf.
Oh, come on, Kate. He thought he was such a devil picking me up.
No, I'm serious, Trudy. Now, we can't joke about this man. But I do appreciate your getting rid of him. You know, I get the idea that he's following me. Oh, but Trudy, I've got something to tell you. Tony did the darndest thing and the nicest.
Well, what now?
Well, do you remember that apartment we painted for that little woman with the baby, Mrs. Mateo?
Oh, will I ever forget?
I found out just before Christmas that she'd had to give it up.
Oh, no. Why?
Well, her husband was out of a job, and she just couldn't keep up the rent.
Oh, well, where is she now?
Oh, in this dreadful little room.
Oh, Kate.
I told Tony at lunch, and, you know, he went right to the phone, right then and there, and in 5 minutes he had the whole thing arranged. He took the apartment for her and paid a year's rent.
Oh, terrific.
It took my breath away. Now I'm going to have to convince Mrs. Mateo to move.
Well, she has a baby, hasn't she? You know, if you put anything ahead of that, you'll never forgive yourself.
Oh, Trudy, why don't you come with me?
I'd love to. I haven't a thing to do until 6 o'clock. Stephen is going to call me.
No. Trudy, you've got to promise me something.
What?
That you're not going to have anything to do with Stephen Wolf. You don't know him.
Well, he doesn't know me. Come on, let's go, Kate.
This is the rooming house.
Oh, brother. What a place for a baby.
I know. Third floor, rear. Walk up. It's dark as a pocket up there.
Oh, I could cry for that little woman.
Trudy, I think maybe it would be better if you waited outside and let me go up alone. I'm afraid two of us might overwhelm her.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Kate. I'll wait here on the stoop if it doesn't crack under me.
Okay, I'll be down as soon as I've seen her. Mrs. Mateo? Mrs. Mateo, are you there? Mrs. Mateo?
Who are you looking for, girlie?
Oh, I'm looking for Mrs. Mateo.
Ah, there's no Mrs. Mateo here. There's no Mrs. Nobody here.
Well, I'm sorry. I guess I must have the wrong room. She has a little baby.
Oh, that woman. Oh, she left a week ago.
Left?
Yeah.
Do you know where she went?
They come and they go around here.
Well, I was here a week ago, and she said nothing about leaving then. She was waiting for her husband.
Oh, that fella. He showed up day after Christmas, and they left with the kid.
Oh, I see. Do you happen to know if her husband had found work?
Girlie, nobody finds work these days.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks for talking to me. If Mrs. Mateo should come back...
No way. Anybody gets out of this dump never comes back.
Did you see her, Kate?
No, she's gone, Trudy.
Oh, no.
Her husband came back, and she and the baby went with him.
Kate, don't look now. But across the street, outside that paper store, is someone you know.
Who?
Stephen Wolf. He got here just after we did. Now, I think that guy really means trouble.
Faces of Love features Morgan Fairchild as Kate Wakefield and Nat Polan as Anthony Cushing. Also appearing were Joan Shea, Terry Keane, Nancy Pinkerton, Bernie Grant, and Helene Dumas. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca. Written by Margaret LaWorth. Associate producer Dale Stewart. And brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This is Mel Brandt. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Ladies and gentlemen, your humble servant, William Makepeace Thackeray. I entreat my listeners to perceive this chapter's events in charitable frame of mind, for the behavior and plans of certain of our friends may prove most unsettling. I fear you are partial to the great and heroic in life and in novels, but alas, I can promise neither this day. Do I hear certain disgruntled listeners protest that I am author of this novel, and therefore can write of lofty morals if I but will? Not so. I have explained before, and shall again, that characters in a successful novel are not the servants of the author, but his masters. What Becky Sharp and Rawdon Crawley intend this night, I neither planned nor counted upon. It is their affair, not mine. And one other fact must be made clear. In the homes of my listeners, it is New Year's Day. In Vanity Fair, it still is the afternoon of New Year's Eve. Now, kindly recall what Miss Crawley said over tea and crumpets to Rawdon and Becky.
Did you fancy I would allow you to go to the party without a proper chaperone? Are you of the vulgar lower classes that go about at night unattended? Why, I'll not hear of it, certainly not. What would people say? Briggs will accompany you. The matter is settled.
A staggering blow, that. Rawdon and Becky had planned to be this entire night together and not, oh dear me, at Amelia Sedley's party. With what restraint they did not argue with Rawdon's auntie. To argue would be to arouse suspicion. Silent they sat. Silent drank their tea, which you may be sure tasted vile. Now, at last, they are alone downstairs.
Knew it! Knew it! Something would go amiss. Felt it all day. Gnawed at me like a rat. Damn Aunt Matilda. Damn Briggs. The devil take them both if I'd my way. Becky, you've not said one word.
I'm thinking.
What do you still think? Won't come again a chance like this. A party, both invited, excuse to stay out all night.
No, never again.
And you don't seem even bothered. Good dad, don't you care?
Chaperone.
Don't speak the rotten word.
Oh, just a minute. Wait, Bill. Yes, I believe it will work.
Can't work with a damn chaperone hanging about every filthy minute. We've been done, and you sit there without a word to say. Confound it. Did you ever mean us to be together at all?
Oh, Rawdon, you darling booby.
You laugh. You didn't mean it to happen.
I meant it to happen. I mean it to happen, and I shall see that it does happen.
And all the time I... What?
My dearest, my darling, my precious imbecile, when I set out to do something, no one stops me. I have said I'll be rich. I will be rich. That's why we've had to play ducks and drakes with your Aunt Matilda. Why we've defied her, lest we lose the money she means you to have.
What's that to do with tonight?
It explains how I feel right now. I said we would have this night, and we will have it. But in this, I will defy Aunt Matilda, though she'll not know it. I'll get rid of Briggs.
How? How? You can't.
Oh, can't I?
You heard, Auntie. We can't go unchaperoned.
I heard her very well. Now it's her turn to hear me. Trust me, my love. Tonight will be all we dreamed.
It will? Will it?
Exactly all, or more, because we almost lost it.
You've a plan.
Oh, a lovely plan.
Tell me.
I will tell you when it's accomplished. Wait here. It won't take long.
Gad, Becky, will it work?
Oh, would I could promise. I don't know. I only know it's worth the trying. Kiss me and send me upstairs to try.
Soundly kissed, Becky goes upstairs, but not... What? Not to Miss Crawley. To her own room and to Giles. Be patient, my listeners. In a trice, you will understand why.
Have you it all straight, Giles?
I think so, Miss Becky.
Oh, you're not to think, you're to know. Shall we go over it again?
No, ma'am. I do know.
All right, I trust you. You've been with me for months. You know how I manage things. You'll do as well as ever I could.
Oh, no, Miss Becky. Nobody in this world could do like you, but I'll surely do my best.
Your best will be very good. Now, I'll need only 2 or 3 minutes with Miss Crawley. I've not enough to say on the miserable subject to occupy any more time than that. Listen outside her door. When you hear me say, I suppose we must do with what we have, that's when you come in. And what do you say first?
Oh, excuse me, Miss Crawley. 'Tis time for your little doggie's walk.
Right. Then I say, Giles never forgets. She's the most reliable person on earth. That should set the stage.
And what if it does?
Oh, don't start that. Now, whatever I say from then on, be sure to show surprise.
I will.
Then, when the right time comes, be terribly excited.
Oh, it won't be hard. I am excited. Only, could we get on with it? Excited is one thing. Nervous ain't what's wanted.
No, it ain't. Across the hall I go.
And me right behind. What if Miss Briggs is in there?
Oh, she's not, I ain't sure. She's pressing her wretched chaperone dress. Now, hush. Miss Crawley?
Come in, Becky.
Has Rawdon gone, dear?
Why, I don't know. I've been in my room. The last I saw him, he was stomping about downstairs, complaining miserly about chaperones. He says they're out of style. Aren't men ridiculous?
Indeed they are. I'm very modern in my views, but the slack morality of today shocks even me. You don't mind a chaperone tonight?
Why on earth would I, though? I do worry about poor Miss Briggs.
Worry? Why?
Well, New Year's parties last so late, and oh, if she's asleep by 9. I do hope it doesn't overtax her to stay up all night.
Tut! She'll do her no harm.
Or embarrass her if she nods off. She is getting on, you know. Oh, I do wish there was someone else so she'd not be put to such trouble. Oh, well, we must do with what we have.
Indeed we must. Rawdon?
No, ma'am. It's Giles.
Oh, come in, come in.
Oh, excuse me, Miss Crawley. Tis time for your little doggie's walk.
Ah, Giles, never forget. She's the most reliable person on earth.
Poof, poof is sleeping. I so hate to wake my precious.
Miss Crawley? Giles is the answer.
Answer to what?
In Spain, I believe the chaperones, the duennas, always are older women. But here in England, young girls often simply take their maids. Giles could replace poor, aging Miss Briggs.
Giles?
Yes, ma'am.
I wasn't speaking to you. I was considering you.
Giles, would you like to go to the party with me and Mr. Rawdon tonight?
Me, miss?
Well, of course, if you'd rather not.
Oh, miss... I've not never been to a foreign party, never. Oh, do you think I could? Miss Crawley, could I? And see Miss Becky dancing and all the beautiful young ladies and handsome gentlemen? Oh, if only I could.
What do you mean you've never been? There have been parties and parties at Queen's Cross.
Oh, but always I was below stairs. I didn't see nothing, only heard the music. Oh, please, could I go, ma'am? It would be the pride of my life to be Miss Becky's... what was that word?
A duenna. Well, you'd hardly be that, and you could only watch from the balcony. Well, what do you think, Miss Crawley? It's for you to decide, not me. If you prefer Miss Briggs, it's quite all right with me.
Well, Rawdon, I dare say, would find Giles much more acceptable than a tiresome, twitty, sleepy old lady.
Oh, well, I never thought of that. What? How clever of you. Very well, Giles. Miss Crawley most wisely has decreed you shall go to the ball.
Well done, Miss Sharp. Ladies, gentlemen, tomorrow, please. Splendid. I am, as always, your obedient and obliged servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, boy, kid.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Hi, dear. Hi. We got separated. I've been looking all over for you. Did you get anything to eat?
No, I couldn't get anywhere near the buffet table. There was such a crowd.
Look, people are sitting up the stairway eating.
Oh, it must have taken me 15 minutes just to push my way through to get over here. Why would Barbara invite so many people?
Open house, New Year's, getting rid of all our obligations.
Oh, here, you can share my plate. It looks like chicken a la king and some kind of salad that's melting, a hot roll, which is cold.
Bob Baxter.
Well,
Tony, come on over and meet the Baxters.
Here comes our hostess again, dragging some poor soul.
Tony, this is Bob Baxter and his wife, Tony Potter.
How do you do?
I do hope you're getting enough to eat. There's gobs of food, so help yourself.
Thanks, we will. It's a lovely party, Eloise.
Oh, thank you. Eloise?
Oh, I'm sorry, Barbara. You look just like an old college friend of mine. I'm always getting mixed. I'm sorry, Barbara.
Oh, that's
really sorry.
All right. Come on, Tony. Some other people I want you to meet.
Oh, Jim, I want you to meet Tony Bob.
What was that all about, calling her Eloise?
She has introduced 5 different people to us tonight, and each time she has said, this is Bob Baxter and his wife. Not once has she said my name. Not once. And she always does this.
Did you see the look she gave you?
Uh-huh. Let her worry about it.
All right, come on. Tuck your claws in. Let's get out of here and go home. That is, if we can fight our way out. Excuse us, please. Excuse us! Boy. Never again. Never again. I don't know why we let ourselves in for things like that.
I don't either. We went last year and vowed we'd never go again. These afternoon open houses are for the birds. They really are. Well, now what New Year's resolutions are you going to make this year?
None. Not one. Unless it's a resolution not to make any.
I'm going on a diet. I am. Starting right now, I'm definitely going on a diet. Trouble is, I don't know which diet to go on.
Well, my doctor told me...
Yeah, I know, dear. You've told me 100 times.
Yeah, he said, I'm not putting you on any special diet. Mm. You know what not to eat. You know what's fattening.
Yeah, I know. You told me.
He said, just eat half of what you've been eating.
Yeah, I know, dear. You told me. You haven't lost any weight.
Well, I didn't take his advice, either.
Oh, I...
I haven't been eating just half of everything. Instead, I think I've been eating twice as much. Ever since Aunt Maggie's been visiting and fixing blueberry muffins and apple dumplings and...
Oh, I know, only too well.
Well, anyhow, that's the best way to diet. Take off weight gradually over a period of time, then it'll stay off.
Well, I don't like to diet that way.
Well, you want 10 pounds just to fall off overnight.
That's right. When it doesn't, I get discouraged.
Just willpower, that's all. Just takes willpower.
My first resolution will be to diet. Definitely. Starting as of right now.
You're not hungry right now. I want to hear you say that when you're really starving, as you put it.
Well, you'll see. I'm really determined to diet. Oh, I wonder where Aunt Maggie and Maynard are. They said they'd be back before dark.
Yeah, quit looking out the window. They won't get back any faster.
You know, it was so dear of Maynard to invite her to take her to New Year, wasn't it? That Guy Lombardo's New Year's party.
Wow.
Why, she's so excited, wasn't she? I think Maynard's getting to like Aunt Maggie more and more and more, don't you?
Yeah, well, I think he's going to like her less and less if she doesn't stop that terrible singing.
Oh, honey, now really.
All right, I love her, but... Let's face it, Aunt Maggie is no Beverly Sills.
Well, who is except Beverly Sills? Aunt Maggie has a sweet voice, I think.
The other night when Maynard was over and we were playing bridge, Aunt Maggie went out to the kitchen to get coffee and she was warbling away and I saw Maynard close his eyes.
Well, enjoying it.
Honey, what do you do when something annoys you but you can't say anything? You close your eyes and grit your teeth.
Well...
Oh, now I know you're trying to promote wedding bells. But if Aunt Maggie persists in trilling away most of the time off-key, in my opinion, that's no way to catch a man.
Well, what do? I can't say anything to her. She's sung in her church choir at home for years, and she's always telling me that her father just loved to hear her sing.
Well, that was her father.
Well, I know that, but I just... Oh.
Oh, there they are. Or is that Debbie?
No, Debbie's at a party. Come on.
No, wait a minute. Wait till I get up on the porch.
Oh,
you're
honey.
Always holding the door open. Did you see the fuel bill we got today?
There wasn't any mail today.
Well, all right. Yesterday, then.
Yesterday.
Did you see it?
No, but I can imagine. Bob, you don't think Aunt Maggie would have gone up and asked to sing with Guy Lombardo's orchestra, do you?
What are you saying? I don't even want to think about it.
Aunt Maggie said to me jokingly before she left, wouldn't it be funny if I got a chance to sing with Guy Lombardo's orchestra? And I said I didn't think she'd, you know, she'd get a chance. And she said, well, I could always ask. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. You know how she is when she makes up her mind.
Well, we'll soon know. All right, look out. Let me open the door.
Okay.
Hey!
Have a good time? Let me give you a hand with the luggage, man.
Maggie, was it just wonderful? I can't wait to hear.
Well, I just can't wait. I can't wait to tell you either, dear. You just never guess what happened. You just never guess.
Here's a special invitation to every woman and child who has ever appeared in a Miss Clairol advertisement, print, television, or packaging. Miss Clairol and Woman's Day magazine cordially invite you to join us at a gala reunion to celebrate Miss Clairol's 25th anniversary. All former models, please contact Miss Clairol or Woman's Day at Box 333A, FDR Station, New York, New York, 10022. The search is on for former Miss Clairol models.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Well, then I got all dressed up in my new dress, and I met Maynard in the lobby, and then we got a taxi.
Maggie, what happened that was so special? You're certainly a master of suspense when you tell anything.
Let her tell it in her own way now.
Well, okay. Anyhow, we got to this other hotel where Maynard had reservations for dinner and the New Year's Eve party.
With Guy Lombardo and his orchestra.
Yes, well. Wait, are you here?
We're waiting.
Well, we knew soon you got seated, then I dropped my evening bag. Well, your evening bag.
Oh, that's all right. Go on.
And this lady at the next table saw it and picked it up, and somehow we got to talking. And her husband was there, too.
You know, Maggie, she gets to talking. Yeah. So?
Well, they said their name was McGregor, and I said, well, I knew an Ellen McGregor years ago. She was a cousin of the Eusterman girls. She used to visit them from St. Paul. And then she married a doctor and went to live in Denver. And guess what?
What?
This man said, why, that Ellen McGregor is my sister. Did you imagine? Here I am from Montana, and I was in New York talking to this perfect stranger, and they're from Ohio, and Ellen was in St. Paul, and now lives in Denver, and it turns out to be Ellen McGregor's brother. My goodness!
That's it?
Aunt Maggie, is that the something special that happened?
Well, yes. Don't you think that's special?
Oh, well.
Out of millions of people in this world and in New York, and it turned out I was sitting right by Ellen McGregor's brother.
It's amazing. It really is.
All evening I just kept saying, well, it is certainly a small world, didn't I, Maynard?
Oh, yes, you certainly did. Look, Maggie, didn't you bring back some souvenirs to show them? And I bought a little something. That, what did we do with those sacks?
Oh, yes. Just a minute. Well, we've got something for you. You're surprising.
That was some story.
Well, at least she didn't ask to sing with the band.
I want to tell you something. Maynard has now had 2 days solid of Aunt Maggie, and I think he has just about had it. You heard him say, Maggie gets to talking.
Yes.
And here they are. Come on, Maynard.
All right, come in.
Now there's nothing very special about these, but I wanted to bring you something from New York. Here, Bob, Statue of Liberty.
Thank you, Aunt Maggie.
And I got an apron for you, dear, that has a map of Manhattan on it.
Oh, isn't that nice, Aunt Maggie?
And on our drive home today, we passed the cheese place. It was open, so here are some assorted cheeses that look pretty good. Hey, look at that.
Boy.
Danish blue, Jarlsberg, Camembert.
Oh, man, and I'm just crazy about cheese, any kind.
Yes, I remember.
I want to get some crackers. And put on some coffee.
All right. A minute. Isn't that new Swedish cheese ambrosia?
Well, I think so. Isn't that what it says? He wrote the names down.
Oh, that's marvelous. Thank you. Oh, dear.
Oh, listen to that. I love to hear Maggie sing.
You do?
Oh, yes. My mother always sang around the house, so did my wife. Yes, it always seems like home when I hear a woman singing. She goes about her work. Well, I'll go out and help. At least I can get out the cups and saucers. Listen to that. And he likes it.
I know. Well, Maggie reminds him of his mother and his late wife. We may have wedding bells yet. Oh, here's some port salut.
Stay away from that cheese. Remember, you're on a diet.
Forget it. I'll start tomorrow. I will, really. I will.
Sounds like we're going to have two songbirds in the family.
Well, let's look at it this way. We won't be losing a soprano. We'll be gaining a baritone. Come on, try this cheese.
Oh, look at you. And you made a New Year's resolution.
Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Four Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. Have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
A little farther over, dear. That's it.
You know, you have the eye of an engineer, Caroline. I could have sworn those flowers were scented.
Well, now they are, dear. Now, let's see. What else has to be done?
The punch is ready.
It will be. Oh, Robert, the extra chairs.
Yes, Hardy's is getting them now. How many people do you expect?
Oh, 20 or 30.
Hardy souls all.
Oh?
Well, people who can get themselves together for one more festive occasion on New Year's Day have to be made of sterner stuff than I am.
Robert, you're stronger than you think.
Why, thank you. That's a nice way to start the new year.
Oh, darling, I wonder about Emily, though.
Yes, so do I.
Your daughter-in-law has been through so much lately. I don't know how she does it.
Well, Jennifer's accident has been hard on everyone, but Emily has borne the brunt of it.
Well, at least they knew what they were dealing with. And Jennifer's all right now, but Emily herself...
You know something? Jason has to get after that specialist that he called in.
Now, Robert, it's not your problem.
Well, Caroline, someone has to do something.
Please don't say anything to him today. Well, promise me.
All right, I won't. Where are Lynn and Kurt?
Oh, probably sleeping in this morning. We did have a late evening.
He doesn't need that for an excuse. He does it every day.
Please, Robert, not today.
You aren't leaving much for me to talk about.
Well, let's think about something positive.
I am open to all kinds of suggestions.
I'd like to find some way to, well, not reward exactly, but certainly to recognize what Dr. Gonzalez did in saving Jennifer.
No. I told you Jason said Joe Gonzalez isn't very receptive to being thanked.
Well, I know, but there has to be a way. We owe him so much.
Yeah. You know, Anne certainly seemed impressed with him.
My daughter's a pretty good judge of character.
I wish I could say the same thing about my daughter.
Robert, you promised. Now, Lynn and Kurt should be getting encouragement from us.
Come Come on in. It's open.
Oh, man, you're up.
Yes, I think so. Whew. Do you have any coffee?
Yes, it's on the hot plate.
Oh, I see you're hard at work.
Oh, I don't think of painting as work. I enjoy it too much. Oh, could you move the copper bowl closer to the blue pitcher? Yes, that's it.
Ooh, that coffee helps.
Where's Kurt?
He's still asleep. He had a restless night.
Any special reason?
Oh, he's afraid the Swiss company he's been expecting to represent is going to give the franchise to someone else.
Oh, that's a shame. What a way to start the new year.
Yeah. And it means we won't be able to move into our own apartment until... Well, I don't know when.
Well, that's not going to make your father unhappy.
I know. I'll be working on the hospital newsletter and doing some freelance work for the trip, but we can't make any plans on the strength of that.
Well, at least Kurt doesn't mind your working.
No, he doesn't, but I got a funny feeling about the Jennifer story I wrote that was in yesterday's paper.
From Kurt, you mean?
Yes, I told him I was getting a byline, but I didn't say it was going to be my maiden name. I never even thought of it.
That's right. You're known professionally as Lynn Carter, not Lynn Rogers.
And the editor said the wire services were picking it up.
Ooh, which means Dr. Joe Gonzalez has been helpful to a lot of people.
What do you mean?
Well, he was the one who saved Jennifer after she was submerged in freezing water for about 45 minutes. And now, thanks to your getting the story in the paper, lots of people will know that there may be a way to save lives that otherwise would be lost.
That's why we did the story. What do you, think of Joe Gonzalez, by the way?
Why do you ask?
Oh, I was just wondering.
Cold. New Year's Day. I don't know where I'm going. God, I miss Lisa. If things had only worked out right, if I'd met and married Anne instead of Lynn, then Lisa and I would have had a shot at the money.
Happy New Year, darling.
Happy New Year, Lynn.
Are you sure, Kurt?
You can't be sure of anything.
Oh, darling, that's no way to start our first brand new year together, just because the Swiss thing fell through.
What? Oh, that.
Just because that didn't work out doesn't mean that something else won't.
Sure, we have to keep trying, don't we?
That's the spirit.
And there's nothing like having a loyal, faithful wife as an incentive, right?
Kurt, what's the matter?
It is a bit of a jolt to see by the paper that your wife doesn't really consider herself married to you.
Well, Kurt, that's ridiculous. I've been working in Chicago as Lynn Carter long before I met you. It's the name everyone knows me by.
The noble name of Carter. Great.
Well, if it means so much to you, I'll change it to Rogers.
Why bother now? You seem to think there's an advantage in being a Carter.
Well, if it had been you, I'd have been happy for you.
That's just it. I've got nothing. Here it is, the new year, and you're on top of the world, and I'm hanging on by my fingertips.
Oh, Kurt, darling, don't worry. Look, you'll get something. I know you will. Well, the newspaper stories and all that great. I was just lucky.
Some people have luck in this world, and some don't.
There we are. Two logs should hold us for a while. Well, Annie, are you braced for the occasion?
No, Robert. I haven't sampled the punch yet.
Then let's sneak a march on the rest of them, shall we, and have a real drink.
All right, Robert, since we don't want you to become a solitary drinker.
Oh, I never feel solitary when I'm alone. I always feel I'm in good company.
I'll drink to that.
Well, as usual, your mother has done herself proud, and the library is ablaze with bloom.
Yes, I think Mother tries to outdo herself every year.
By the way, you met Joe Gonzalez yesterday, didn't you?
Yes, I did, Robert. Why?
Well, Anne, your mother's determined to do something for him.
Well, she'd better watch it.
Oh, I passed the word to her, too, from Jason, because Jason says he's a proud and a modest man.
Yes, I would say that.
Well, maybe we can think of some way to...
You look lovely. Green velvet is just perfect on you.
I thought I'd look well against the poinsettias.
No compliment for me?
Well, let me see. If you'd stand in front of the fireplace with your left elbow on the mantel...
I'd be blistered from hip to thigh in no time.
That would spoil the effect, dear.
Hey, you all look marvelous.
A happy family portrait.
Well, now it's complete.
Well, when do they start arriving?
Any minute now.
You know, it's going to be the first time for a lot of our friends to meet Kurt.
Oh, that's right. It's Kurt's first New Year with the family at River Run.
I hope I don't disappoint them.
It depends on what they're expecting.
Hey! Robert, why don't you propose a New Year's toast?
Well, of course, if you'll all get yourselves glasses of punch.
All right.
Yeah. Let's see, a toast for the occasion. Here's to the new year, another swing around the sun, another year is done. We raise a glass to the days to come, filled with,
kind thoughts and good deeds.
Now, that doesn't scan, Caroline.
Who says it has to, darling? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, darling.
And to hold has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.